One of the names of God in the Old Testament is Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord is healing. That's his nature. That's part of who he is. That's part of what he wants for us as his people. And God heals in many ways. He heals naturally. Just think about the human body, how amazing it is, how it can heal itself, how God has programmed our bodies. Think about how God has given us science and medicine and doctors, loving relationships and healing communities where we can receive healing, where we can renew our minds and receive hope and grace and faith for the future. But God also heals supernaturally at times, directly by the presence and the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he likes to do that often as we gather as his people in the context of worship and prayer. And so we want to create a space for us to do that, to come with all that we are and all that we have to God and allow him to touch us, whatever that might be. And so I invite you tonight to listen, to follow along in the readings and sing the songs, to receive prayer and also Holy Communion. Feel free to sit, to stand, to listen, to participate, to reflect. Do whatever feels comfortable for you. Feel free to express worship and reception however that is most comfortable to you. But let us open our hearts as we come into the house of the Lord tonight. I invite you to stand with me for the call to worship. It's both in your bulletin, if you'd like to follow along in that, or also up on the screen. May grace and peace be yours in abundance in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. We have come to lift up ourselves and our brothers and sisters before the Lord, that we might receive healing. Let those who seek God's healing open their hearts to the Spirit of the Lord. Lord, we are here for you. Whether we are on the mountaintop or in the deepest valley, we lean on your unfailing love. We quiet our minds, hearts, and souls so we may hear your voice and acknowledge your presence here. Come and have your way. peace, Lord.
Come and fill our hearts with your peace. You alone, O Lord, are holy. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. Hallelujah. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. You alone, O Lord, are holy. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. Hallelujah. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. You alone, O Lord, are holy. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. Hallelujah. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. You alone, O Lord, are holy. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. Hallelujah. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. You alone, O Lord, are holy. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. Hallelujah.
Just everyone's voice as we sing.
I invite you to stand if you would like for the first scripture reading tonight. This is from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3, written 700 years before the birth of Christ. But the Christian church and the Christian faith interprets these words as being ultimately fulfilled by Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's become aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit in this room right now. We are here for you. Let us become more aware of your presence. We sing.
Let us become
Yes, Lord, we acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit, and we invite you to manifest that presence, to touch our lives and to open our hearts, to transform us, to give us breakthroughs, to meet with us in whatever way we need tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Died and rose, so God.
voice as we sing, Spirit of God.
Spirit of God, breathe on your church, pour out your presence, speak through your word. We pray in every nation, Christ be known, our hope and salvation, Christ alone.
We know that it's only through you, Christ alone. In you our hope is found. In you we have peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord. We know that you walk with us through the valleys, that you are with us. And it's because of this, in the midst of the storms, in the midst of the battles we might be fighting, Lord, we can sing your praises. Can we sing together? I'll raise a hallelujah.
I'll raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I'll raise a hallelujah louder than the earth. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. And I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me.
I'm gonna sing.
Oh, sing a little louder.
I invite you to stand, as if you're willing and able, to listen to Psalm 23, our second reading for the night. This is written by Israel's King David, who before he was called to be the shepherd of the people of Israel, was a literal shepherd of sheep. And so he has extra insight in this psalm and has an extra weightiness because of that background. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. And I will live in the house of the Lord forever. So reads this portion of the Word of God.
I'm just going to sing those words, sing these truths. Surely love.
Surely love and mercy, your peace and kindness will follow me, will follow me. Surely love and mercy, your peace and kindness will follow me, will follow me.
Sing that together. Surely love.
Surely love and mercy, your peace and kindness will follow me, will follow me. Surely love and mercy, your peace and kindness will follow me.
Well, that's his promise. Surely,
surely.
Pray with me. Spirit of the living God, move in this place. I know what kind of healing I want. Let me encounter you in the kind of healing that you know I need. Touch us like only you can by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to be seated. Encounter healing. It's about fullness, about restoration. But I know that I need to learn. Because sometimes when I hear the word healing, I think too small. I think too selfish. I think short term. And in the passage from Isaiah that Pastor Mark read, God invites us to think big, to think global, to think of healing filling all eternity. Like the song says in the mystery of the encounter, I was such a rookie when I started this ministry life about 30 years ago, and I was in my first church, and we were meeting in a gymnasium, and people were coming to know Jesus, and it was a wonderful thing. And this gentleman in his 50s came, and after several months, he decided that he wanted to make Jesus his own. And he invited Jesus into his life, and he was baptized, and that the Spirit of God began to work in his life. Until a month after his baptism, he called me and said, Glenn, I was at the doctor. There's some stuff going on. I had an x-ray and I've got a tumor on the brain. Would you come and pray with me? You've been telling me about prayer. Would you come and pray with me? And I could feel the knot in my stomach. Oh, sure, I'll come and pray with you. And I prayed and we prayed and the church prayed and he was in the hospital and 7 days later he was gone. And that was on a Saturday. And the next day, we were going to do a service. And in the worship service, we were going to have prayers of healing. And I remember going the next day thinking, Lord, how can I do prayers of healing? I just lost somebody last night. I remember that was my prayer. I just lost somebody last night. Imagine me and my Messiah complex. So we had communion and people came to the communion table and we were anointing them with oil. And this woman came up to me and she said, Pastor Glenn, I've got x-rays. I've got lumps on a breast. Would you pray for me? And the knot in my stomach, yes, I'll pray. And this time I prayed, Lord, your will be done. Kind of that lets me off the hook. And 3 weeks later, she came into my office. She said, Pastor Glenn, you'll never believe it. And she brought the x-rays from before that day, and she brought the x-rays from 3 weeks later, and the x-ray showed that she was clean, bill of health. All the tumors were gone. And she said, we need to put an ad in the newspaper. We need to tell everybody. I said, no. She said, you're amazing. No. All in one weekend. The words that Pastor Mark read, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. That key word, sovereign. That God is God, and I am not. And I don't know about you, but I tend to forget that sometimes. Healing is always about three things in Scripture. It's always about authority. Somebody has to have the authority to say, be healed. I went to the doctor today because I have to have some stuff done on my knee, and I had to sign some stuff to give him authority to do his work. God has authority. It's sovereign. It's his choice, his will, not mine. It's also a function of power. I have a friend who's started chemo because chemo's powerful. They hope that the power of the chemo will be more powerful than the cancer. Two C words I can't wait to never hear again. It's always about power. And the scripture says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to proclaim. There's a power here that comes from the Spirit, not from me. The same Spirit that hovered over the surface of the deep at creation, the same Spirit that spoke the worlds into existence, the same Spirit that anointed Jesus, that gave him power, the same Spirit that fell on the early church, not me, but the Spirit of God Almighty. And sometimes I get a little too comfortable and I need to tremble just a little bit to think that the Creator of the universe is in this room and that I want to have an encounter with him. It's also about a third thing: authority, power, and a motive. The one with the power has to want, has to choose. And the scripture says God is love. God wants for you the best from his perspective. Martin Luther once said that the most important words in the whole liturgy are for you. That God is for you. Whatever else happens in this room, God has the authority, God has the power, and God has the motive to move in powerful ways in your life. The guy that I told you about who ultimately ended up dying. Was he healed? I would argue that just a month before when he had said yes to Jesus and was baptized, I think he was healed in that moment from some big important things and God just took him home. Was the woman healed? Yes, she was healed, but one day she will leave this earth. God is about a mystery. One of the wonderful things about this passage in Isaiah, Jesus took it and said, this is my mission. In Luke chapter 4, he said, let me see that scroll. And he read it. And the people were amazed because he seemed to be saying, this is me. And they knew this is about Jehovah. And Jesus said, no, this is me. The Spirit has anointed me to do some amazing things. It's big and global. And it fills all eternity to give economic restoration to the poor, to release people in bondage, social bondage, to release the oppressed who've been pushed down by violence and injustice. And how to do that? By proclaiming that the Lord's favor, God's favor, will move in our lives. That God's justice, God is always about restoring. And that in the process of doing that, we will become like these oaks of righteousness. There's a fruit, and it's called righteousness, goodness, purity, mercy, truth, love, and it's all about restoration. I used to believe that Jesus came to turn the world upside down. Matter of fact, I preached a few sermons with that title. But over the years, I've come to realize, no, we turn the world upside down. Jesus comes to turn it right side up. Where the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is, we are invited to flow into eternity. Where in that marker place God says he will restore us physically is up to God. Where God restores our economics, where God does all of these things, well, we've got all eternity to find out. But tonight is a night to meet God and say, I surrender. You are sovereign. You are powerful. I want to be touched by your love, empowered and equipped by you for whatever you'll call me to be and to do, and to let God release that healing that comes from Jehovah Rapha, a God who heals in way more ways than we can imagine. Let's pray. Lord, we've turned your world upside down. Come tonight and return our world right side up. In Jesus' name, amen.
We continue in that spirit of prayer to the Sovereign Lord. The Sovereign Lord who encounters us in those moments when we turn the world upside down, who desires to turn our worlds and our world right side up. In that spirit, that awareness, we enter into a time of prayer. You can fold your hands or not. You can bow your heads or not. You can close your eyes or not. Whatever is meaningful or significant and enables you to pray in the spirit of the Sovereign Lord as we pray for our world. Almighty Sovereign God, so sovereign that you can bring good even out of evil, who can turn even the wrath and waywardness of your children towards your promised peace. Hear our prayers this day as we remember those of many nations and differing faiths whose lives were and have been cut short by fierce flames of anger and hatred. Hasten the time when the menace of war shall be removed and replaced with your peace. Cleanse both us and those perceived to be our enemies of hatred and distrust. Tonight we pray for those all around our world who are victims of violence and poverty. We pray for those who are homeless, those who are refugees, those who are hurting in mind and body or spirit. Pour out your spirit of peace upon all the rulers of our world, that we may be brought through strife to the lasting peace of the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. O Lord, hear our prayers. O Sovereign God, 18 years ago, the fabric of the United States was changed. Tonight, we pray again for the victims, the perpetrators, the survivors. We ask this night that you would grant solace and peace. Release all of those who have been victimized and who have been the perpetrators. Release from visions of death and destruction, from guilt and shame, from fear and anger. Bind wounds with your steadfast love. Lift them all on your wings of kindness and grace, peace, and healing. Oh, dear Sovereign Lord, you are the source of all hope and comfort. Tonight we pray also for the terrorists, those who hide in caves and retreat to the wilderness, those who disappear behind false names and forged papers, those who smuggle guns and arms, hide rockets in cities and bombs in homes, who build weapons against the innocent and the bystander, whose designs are destruction, whose plans are fear, whose joy is hate, who choose to die in order to kill. Oh, dear Sovereign Lord, inspire all with your love for all creation. Give us this day the strength and courage to transform the compassion from your heart into acts of peace and mercy and justice for all people around our world and throughout our nation. O Lord, hear our prayer. O Sovereign Lord, you are the God of the selfless. You are the God of the strong and the brave. You are the one who inspires and grants perfect rest among the souls of the righteous by your design and the power of your Spirit. This night, as we pray for our community, we pray for that Spirit of yours to truly allow us to be dedicated to protecting life and to serve as a shining lamp of your love. And so we pray for all in our community. We pray for all who shine your lamp of love through efforts to care for the homeless and hungry, the troubled and the troublemakers, the distressed and the depressed, the addicted and the anxious, the mourners and the merciful. O Lord, we pray for our local government officials. We pray for our teachers and those who work for school safety. We pray for all of our first responders, our police, our firefighters. We pray for our mental health workers. We pray for our church leaders. We pray for all in our community who, by the power of your sovereign strength and spirit, seek peace and seek to be shining lamps of your love. O Lord, hear our prayers. So, O Sovereign Lord, we pray those prayers that are in our hearts. We pray for those whom we know who are sick or dying. We pray for all of those who are in unhealthy relationships. We pray for all those who face uncertain futures. We pray for all those who are troubled by employment situations or lack of employment. We pray for those who grapple with the vocation to which they desire a sense of calling. We pray for all of your people in all of the circumstances we face in our daily lives. Empower us to shape a world marked by ways of life that lead to justice and peace. Fashion in us to be a people who are more ready to grow in understanding than eager to judge those different from us. Form us into a people determined to heal wounds rather than inflict them. We ask all of this in the name of your dear Son, who came among us to show us your way. O Lord, hear our prayers.
As we prepare to enter into a time of confession, I wanted to briefly share with you a story from Luke chapter 5 that has all kinds of surprising twists and turns in it. There's a man who can't walk, and he has four friends who say, "Let's take him to Jesus," and they bring him to Jesus, and then when they get there, the house is so full that they can't get in. So they decide to go on the roof, of course, and tear a hole in the roof and lower their friend down. And when Jesus sees the man and sees their faith, he does something surprising. He says, "Your sins are forgiven." Jesus didn't overlook the man's need for physical healing, but he had the capability to look deeper to a brokenness within that needs healing. And that often it's sin in our own life that separates us from God, that creates disease and destruction, whether it be negative thoughts, whether it be unhealthy habits that we get stuck in, whether it be our own selfishness, impatience, bitterness, envy, jealousy, greed, pride. And Jesus says, I want to start there. Because if we don't get that healed, then nothing else really can be made whole. So let us open our hearts, minds, and souls to the one who loves us without condition, trusting that we will receive his grace and mercy. Would you pray with me? Merciful God, we offer you our lives, full as they are of shadow and light, of kindness and apathy, of hope and despair. Take what is broken and mend it. Take what is wrong and right it. Take what is destructive and disable it. Take what is useless and make it useful. Heal our sin, we pray. Amen. And now we lift up our silent prayer of confession before God. We'll give you a moment of silence to confess your own sin and ask for God's forgiveness and healing. First John, it says that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But if we confess our sin, he who is faithful will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So friends, hear this good news. God so loved the world that he sent Jesus to us, not to condemn the world, but in order that we might be saved, healed, and forgiven through him. Say it with me. Thanks be to God. A reading from James chapter 5, verses 13 to 18. Are you hurting? Pray. Do you feel great? Sing. Are you sick? Call the church leaders together to pray and anoint you with oil in the name of the Master. Believing prayer will heal you, and Jesus will put you on your feet. And if you've sinned, you will be forgiven, healed inside and out. Make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. We give thanks for this word and lift up a blessing of invitation. As your holy apostles anointed many who were sick and healed them, so pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on this gift, that those who in faith and repentance receive this anointing may be made whole through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We're about to move into our closing portion where we're going to have time to pray and experience God's healing in different ways, and I'll explain that in a moment. But we wanted to cap off the evening with a special song. This was a song written by a member of our own music team. Her name is Megan Brennan. She's a young woman who's just been a great gift to our church and to our music ministry. And she wrote this song for another member of our music team named Stevie P. And he's been dealing with leukemia. He just got a stem cell transplant, and he's on a journey of healing in his life. And she wrote this song to encourage him. But the words and the music are so powerful, and we pray that it will encourage you. So as you listen to this song, think about the journey that we've been on so far tonight, and prepare your hearts for the journey that we're about to go on. The name of the song is The Miracle.
for me. Oh, I sing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Right here, right now, God is present to meet with you. And right here, right now, we have a chance to respond. There's a lot of different ways that you can use this upcoming time. And so I wanted to walk through the different options that you have so that you feel ready and prepared for the option that's best for you and how you want to engage in this night. You'll see the opportunities listed, and I'm going to take it a little bit out of order. The first thing is, if you just want to sit there quietly and reflect, you're free to do that as long as you need to do that. And then there's many opportunities for prayer. You'll see back here that there's candles set up, and there's a sticks that you can use to light those candles. So if you have a prayer or a person that's on your heart and you want to light a candle, say a prayer for them, you're welcome to do that. If you'd like to pray with someone, there's prayer stations set up along that wall. There's four stations. We have four pastors here, so one of the pastors is going to be at each of the stations. We invite you to come. If you want to say a prayer with us, we would invite that. As you come, just share your name and share what's on your heart, and we'll be glad to pray with you. Also, we have members of our Stephen Ministry here that are going to be standing in the center. These are specially trained people in our church that are caregivers for those who are going through difficult times. And they'll have some oil here if you want to come for a blessing and be anointed with oil. They'd love to do that with you. We have a couple other stations. In that corner, there's a cross and there's some Band-Aids. If you have a hurt in your life that you'd like to lift up to be healed by Jesus, by his stripes, you can write your hurt or your pain or your struggle on that Band-Aid and put it on the cross. Over in this corner, there is a bowl of rocks, stones. At that station, we invite you to write a name of God, maybe Jehovah Rapha, or another name that is special and meaningful for you that you hold on to in times of difficulty. There's pens there. You can write that name on the stone and then take it with you so that you can literally hold on to that in times of need. By the door on your way out, we have an offering basket. If you'd like to offer up as a sign of worship and gratitude for God's healing and blessings in your life, there's an opportunity to share your offerings there. And then one final station to let you know about is we have on that back wall, we have some communion stations set up to receive the gift of his body and blood that extends healing inside and out and all around the world. And I want to share the words that Jesus gave to us as we remember the sacrifice he made. For on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. He gave thanks and he gave it for all to eat, saying, "This is my body broken for you. I was willing to be broken so that you could be put back together. I was willing to experience pain so that I could bring you healing. Do this in remembrance of me." And he took a cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new promise in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin." Yes, sin. The sin that I can see right through into that is causing you all that pain and dis-ease in your life. Yep, I have grace enough for that to do this in remembrance of me. And so, gracious God, as we enter into this time of prayer and healing, we ask that you meet us. We bring our brokenness. We bring our fears. We bring our pain. We bring our hopes and our dreams before the sovereign Lord, who is over all, and in this meal shows that you want to even be as close as the food that we eat and the drink that we consume. God, we welcome you into our lives, and ask that the healing power of your Holy Spirit do the work that we need. Transform not only our lives, but transform the world through our lives because of the work that you're going to do right here and right now. We pray together using the words that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespass, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. There's communion stations in the back if you'd like to receive that. Now, we open it up for you. Use whatever station, whatever means of prayer that you want to encounter the healing of God in your life.
Precious Lord, have mercy.
Jesus is cold. Hallelujah.